This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Democratic presidential hopeful Reverend Al Sharpton is expected to announce tomorrow that he will lead a delegation of fellow black leaders in a fact-finding mission to Liberia. He's seeking a meeting with Liberian President Charles Taylor and opposition leaders in Ghana to urge them to cooperate in a democratic election process. Sharpton says he's trying to help both sides avoid situations like those that occurred in Rwanda and Sudan from happening in Liberia. Birmingham, Alabama prosecutors in the case against serial bombing suspect Eric Rudolph were back in court today pushing for the death penalty. Sharcy Jones reports.
Rudolph is accused of setting off the 1998 explosion of a Southside abortion clinic that claimed the life of Birmingham police officer Robert Sandy Sanderson and critically injured nurse Emily Lyons. Rudolph topped the FBI's most wanted list for 5 years before he was finally captured in North Carolina back in May. Rudolph is again expected to plead guilty to charges of capital murder. Sharcy Jones, Birmingham.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Five large wildfires have been contained just as three new large blazes flare up. The good news is there are now 17 large active wildfires burning in various parts of the country, down from 19 a couple of days earlier. Wildfires continue to burn out of control, primarily in the west. Dry and hot conditions have been plaguing firefighting efforts. Fire danger is still very high to extreme in a number of states, including Arizona, California, New Mexico, and Oregon. There may be some relief in sight for parts of the southwest. Moisture is expected to increase in Arizona and New Mexico. Showers are also predicted over the Great Lakes and east of the Mississippi River. Want a piece of Camelot? How about JFK's boxer shorts or Jackie O's nightgowns? That and more are being auctioned off July 19th at Dawson's Auctioneers and Appraisers in Morris Plains, New Jersey, and simulcast on eBay. The auction house's Michael Hantman says the bidding on President Kennedy's Little Black Book, which he kept during the 1960 campaign, could top $25,000.
In which he made notes of things that thoughts and expressions that he wanted to include in some of his campaign speeches. They're very telling.
Also being auctioned off is the ticket to Kennedy's Texas welcome dinner the president was to attend in Dallas the day he was assassinated. Several pairs of Jackie's shoes and jewelry are all up for bid as well. The items are all a part of collections kept by two of Jackie's former personal assistants, Mary Gallagher and Providencia Paredes.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
A leading pharmacy chain is pulling Ephedra products off its shelves. CVS Corporation announced today it will stop selling diet products containing the weight loss supplement as of August 1st. The decision impacts more than 4,000 stores nationwide. Ephedra has been linked to serious health issues, including heart problems. Consumer groups have called for an all-out ban, but manufacturers insist the product is safe. Despite their new policy, CVS says it believes Ephedra-based products are safe when used as directed. In May, General Nutrition Centers, the largest vitamin and dietary supplement chain in the U.S., stopped selling Ephedra products. On Wall Street, a brokerage firm's upgrade on Home Depot, along with a good outlook from GE, helped stocks finish the week with a positive trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 84 points to 91.20. The S&P 500 jumped 9 points to 998. The NASDAQ climbed 18 to 1734. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi! I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked.
I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com.
Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's life.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. It's about 7:30 the hour. The program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you'd like to comment on George Tenet falling on his sword today, do join us. 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email, too, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And for heaven's sake, go to our website, MikeMalloy.net or MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. You might want to join in the fun and frivolity there. It's official. George did it. Huh? Do you like that? Do you like the way this was engineered? Huh? They send Bush to Africa and they get Condoleezza and Colin over there with him, and the pressure mounts. And on Air Force One, a press gaggle today, Condoleezza finally says, "He did it." And then Tenet takes responsibility. So it's official now. George Tenet did it. The director of the CIA caused all this ugliness for poor, too stupid to be president. Poor Georgie Bush. It was Tenet. It was George Tenet. Now, no, I don't believe this. Of course you don't either. But let's go along with it for a moment. It was George Tenet who allowed too stupid to be president to say at the State of the Union address that Niger was providing uranium to Saddam. Uh-huh. That's what happened. George Tenet is to blame. He says so himself. You got to wonder, why did he wait so long to fall on his sword? When was the State of the Union address? January 28th? What is today? July 11th? Interesting. Let's assume that it's true, that Tenet provided too stupid to be president correct information. Okay, why didn't Bush or anyone else in the War Council ask for verification?
Hey, we see here in the CIA report that Niger is providing uranium and nuclear stuff. Can we get just a second source on this, please, before we go to war?
That's not how they operate in the Bush crime family. Why didn't Bush or anyone ask for verification? Now, remember, we're just going along with this. This is all BS, and you know it as well as I know it. But let's pretend. Since the evidence was in question from the beginning, wouldn't you think that before we, before the Bush crime family launches this nation into war that has so far cost over 200 American lives and roughly 10,000 Iraqi lives, that somebody would check and say, are we sure all this is true? So are we now to believe that the Bush policy of preemptive war, preemptive murder, slaughter, destruction, will go ahead and proceed when the intelligence is in doubt? Is that it? Look where these people are taking us. Look how these people are destroying the integrity of the United States, the decency, the honesty of the United States. Look what's going on. So when the intelligence is a lie, and the Bush thugs decide they want to go kill a few thousand people and steal their natural resources, we're going to go to war anyway. We'll just blame it on somebody, right? Is that what we do now? Attack, kill, bomb, destroy foreign countries, no matter how ugly their leaders are. And God knows the world is full of ugly leaders. But no matter. Even when the highest levels of the Bush crime syndicate know that they're eyeball deep in lies, con jobs, we're still going to go to war. We are still going to kill. We are still going to send 160,000 of our young men and women to go put their lives at risk, even when we know it's all a scam. Now, we are to believe that the only person in the Bush crime syndicate that knew the story from Niger was false was George Tenet. That everybody else, can you believe this is what you and I are to believe now? Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Bush, huh? All of these thuggish bastards, every single one of them, were just walking around the White House, going to the situation, what are we doing tomorrow? Well, we're going to attack Iraq. Oh, okay. What's the reason? Shh, don't ask about the reason, man. Chill, okay? We got our... That's what we're to believe. This is what Condoleezza Rice, this is what Auntie Condi wants us to believe. This is what the Bush bastard wants us to believe. This is what Columbine, this is what the entire Bush crime family wants us to believe now. George Tenet, and only George Tenet, knew it was all lies and BS. But for some reason, George Tenet went mad. He went totally insane. He wanted war, George Tenet did, wanted war with Iraq so badly, he provided false information. In order to have that information flow out of the sock puppet George Bush's mouth at the State of the Union address so the American public would believe that Saddam Hussein, as evil a bastard as he is, was trying to build nuclear weapons. This is almost worse than the lie, isn't it? Wait a minute. George Tenet was appointed by Bill Clinton. Oh, the shadow of Clinton's mighty penis extends even to the Bush CIA. That's what it is. There you go. This is unbelievable. And yet it's out there. CIA Director George Tenet said today that he was responsible for Bush's false allegation in his State of the Union address. That Saddam was trying to buy uranium in Africa. Which was the tipping argument for this attack on Iraq, wasn't it? He's gonna nuke us! What was that little cute little phrase they were using? Well, you don't want the smoking gun to turn out to be a mushroom cloud. Who said that first? Condoleezza Rice? And then all of a sudden, in this vile echo chamber, Rumsfeld and Rice and Cheney and all these little rats in talk radio, all of them echoing, we don't want the smoking gun to turn out to be a mushroom cloud. So that was the key piece of information. Now we find out that George Tenet says, well, guess what? It was all a lie. I just made it up. I knew it was a lie, but I wanted to see George Bush get out in front of the American public, the world, as a matter of fact, State of the Union address, and lie. So I decided to go ahead and let that piece go through. This is what we are to believe. This is what you and I and the world is to believe. George Tenet, diabolical, Machiavellian individual that he is, that he, George Tenet, under the shadow of Clinton's mighty penis, inserted, you'll pardon the expression, that 16 words about Niger providing uranium to Baghdad. The Tenet did it all by himself. Dick Cheney? Nah. No. Richard Armitage? Nah. Nah. Rumsfeld? Mm-mm. Pearl? No. Wolfowitz? Nah. Rice? Mm-mm. George Tenet. George Tenet. Condoleezza Rice and other members of the Bush crime syndicate said that the president's statement at the State of the Union was justified because the CIA cleared the address in its entirety, including the uranium claim. They said the CIA never told the White House that the claim was suspicious. No, they didn't. Oh, that dirty rat dog, George Tenet, he wanted to start a war. He did. So he fed false information to George Bush, who just wanted to save the poor, tortured Iraqis. And he wanted to save the American people from mushroom clouds over Detroit and Louisville and San Francisco and oh God, New York. So George Bush attacked. This is what these people want us to believe. This is the story. We have become so perverse in this country. This country has become a huge whorehouse. We are all living in a massive house of ill repute. How does it feel? Huh? How does it feel? Every day, whether we like it or not, we have to service those who come into our whorehouse. That would be the press and the Bush crime family. And we do it in a number of ways. Some of us do it on our backs. Some of it do it on our bellies. But that's where we live now. We live in a massive whorehouse. How does it feel? The CIA never told the White House that the claim was suspicious. Ah, but other U.S. government officials told NBC News' Andrea Mitchell that Tenet himself advised Rice's top deputy, Stephen Hadley, to remove a reference to the uranium report from the speech that Bush delivered October 7th last year in Cincinnati. The Washington Post reported today that the CIA also told British officials about its doubts and passed word along to several U.S. agencies before the State of the Union address. All this evidence is out there, but no, it's down the memory hole. No, 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 no. Auntie Condoleezza is making it very clear, and George Tenet is making it even clearer.
I'm sorry, I misled the president. I, under the dark shadow of Bill Clinton's huge penis, I deliberately inserted all of this ugly stuff in the State of the Union address so that George Bush would lead the nation to war. I did it. George Tenet, it is my fault. Kill me. Cut off my head. Put me against the wall. Execute me. Give me the injection. Something. But it was all me. I did it.
And these people expect you and I to believe this.
My speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
I hate this murdering, hate to stink in war, and I
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
So what do you suppose, how do you suppose they got George Tenet to whore himself like this? I mean, this is really unbelievable stuff. The announcement was made today that you know, even though back last October, Tenet was warning the Bush crime family not to use the uranium from Africa story. Okay, and then 3-4 months later, Bush uses it anyway in the State of the Union address, and then what is it now? This is July. This is the middle of July. All of a sudden today, Just today it comes out. With 10,000 Iraqis dead, 225, what are we up to now? Americans dead? An entire country destabilized? Yes, a country with a bastard at the head of it. Hey, we've got a bastard at the head of ours, so what? A country destabilized. Chaos. Utter chaos in that section of the world. And it's all because George Tenet deliberately lied and inserted some. And we are supposed to believe this. We are supposed to believe this. Oh, my God. We are supposed to believe this. This, forget all the allusions to Nazism, okay? Let's drop that now. That got a little bit overworked anyway. As Mussolini said, it's not Nazi, it's not fascism, it's corporatism. But let's drop all that. This gang is like the Soviet Politburo. This gang is like the old Soviet Union, which is precisely what Orwell was not talking about fascism. He was talking about totalitarianism and of the Soviet model. So let's just drop this for once and for all, okay? No more references to Nazis. Yes, they are corporatists, they are fascists, but let's really put this where it is. The Potemkin fake, phony creation that these thugs have put together. That's where we live. It is all fake. Is there anything? I read something today in the New York Times that The Houston school system, upon which was modeled the No Child Left Behind nonsense, and from which came Rod Page, Bush's Secretary of Education, that the Houston education system is rotten at the core, that they have been reporting false numbers. The so-called Texas miracle turns out to be nothing but lies. All of it. This was in the Houston Chronicle and the New York Times and the Dallas Morning News. Now, it's knocked off the front page because George Tenet said it was me. I'm the one that caused the war. But the every single thing Bush does is not only a lie, but it's totally fake. Potemkin. Constructing false facades so that when Catherine the Great rides by, she can say, "Oh my God, what a beautiful village." And behind the facade, rats and corpses and swill and sewage and dead peasants. Was it Catherine the Great? I think it was Catherine the Great, wasn't it? Somebody will correct me if it was a different Russian czar. On CNN's poll, whom do you blame for the mistakes in the president's State of the Union address in Iraq? See, even CNN can't call it lies yet. The votes are in so far. 95% say Bush. 13,980 votes. 1% say British intelligence. 4% say the CIA. 95% say Bush is a lying bastard. Well, that's my turn. Was it Catherine the Great? I think it was. All right, your phone calls when we come back. Is this not insane? Oh, that's right, it is Friday. It is Friday. So I guess that's the reason that Tenet came out today. It was me, I did it. I am such a madman. I am so power mad, and I'm so pissed off that I'm not president. And actually, I'm George Tenet. I'm a mole left behind in the shadow of Bill Clinton's mighty penis. And I've been waiting for my chance to destroy this administration. And I saw my chance, and I took it.
Cause I don't wanna see our people dying for oil. See the so-called media, Sway don't believe in ya. The way I'm receiving ya, it seems you're deceiving the mass majority.
Make way for P-Dog, the Bush killer, cop killer, black urban gorilla. Because without justice, I'll bust until it's released. And only then is the time for peace.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's.
a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. The White House is trying to spin June's unemployment rate spike as a sign that more people are out looking for work, but a Department of Labor report released yesterday blows holes in that explanation. It notes that as of the end of June, 3.82 million Americans are currently collecting unemployment assistance. That's the highest number of people on unemployment since February 1983.
A move by the Bush administration to roll back the number of American workers entitled to overtime pay got a shot in the arm yesterday. House Republicans narrowly defeated an amendment that would have put a halt to the Labor Department's plans to alter job classifications as defined by the Fair Labor Standards Act. Organized labor groups calculated that a net 8 million Americans will lose their right to time and a half pay if the changes are adopted.
$7,000 is not a bad week's wages for working at Walmart. Sherry Beck was fired after just 1 week on the job as a cashier at a Walmart store in Orlando. The company said she was hostile, but Beck says she was fired after complaining about the constantly changing shift schedules. Firing someone for voicing simple concerns about workplace conditions is against the law. Beck sued, and Walmart settled the case this week for $7,000, which includes back pay with interest and attorney's fees.
For the first time ever, in-home caregivers in Oregon have a shot at a new labor contract. Some 13,000 caregivers with Service Employees International Union won a tentative deal last month following a landmark constitutional amendment, which in 2000 gave public employees the right to collective bargaining. If the workers approve the contract, they'll have access to workers' compensation and health care coverage for the first time, along with an immediate 40-cent per hour wage increase and other perks.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Diane in Decatur, Georgia, sent this in. Mike, if Bush knowingly misled us, that's flat out lying. If he misled us because he didn't verify his information, that's incompetence and, as he would put it, malfeasance. Neither one is acceptable. And George Tenet, being forced to take the fall, can't take the responsibility off Bush. Like Truman's sign on the president's desk when he was in the White House, the buck stops here. This buck stops in Bush's lap. This deception rises to the level of treason, as I understand it. Bush can't be let off the hook. Well, yeah, it does. It does, Diane. And if not treason, certainly an impeachable offense. This administration concocted not just one lie, but five or six. After being complicit in a murderous attack on this country by their incompetence, or their deliberate inaction, or their deliberate participation, they have now engineered attacks on two countries. Neither of which sent a bomber to kill in the United States. 15 of the bombers came from Saudi Arabia. countries have felt Bush's impotence. Two countries, because they have access to oil, or they have, or they contain oil, or they provide access to oil, have felt the lash. How many Afghan civilians and Iraqi civilians have been slaughtered for these people? How many Americans have died for these people? When are we going to remove him from office? How many more people have to die? How many more people have to die on our soil? How soon, as Bush's so-called popularity sinks into the toilet where it belongs, how soon before we have another so-called terrorist attack in this country? Now, what did Bush have to say about it? I've only got one soundbite for you tonight. And then to your phone calls. Bush and Condi Rice both say that it was George Tenet. It was George's fault. Tenet's fault. Tenet did it. Today, with Ugandan President Museveni, a reporter asks, too stupid to be anything, can you explain, Mr. President, how an erroneous piece of intelligence on the Iraq-Niger connection got into your State of the Union speech? Are you upset about it? And should somebody be held accountable, sir?
I gave a speech to the nation that was cleared by the intelligence services. And it was a speech that detailed to the American people the dangers posed by the Saddam Hussein regime. And my government took the appropriate response to those dangers.
Okay, we apologize for the poor quality of the sound. I don't know how that happened. Here's what he said. I gave a speech to the nation that was cleared by the intelligence services. And it was a speech that detailed to the American people the dangers posed by the Saddam Hussein regime. And my government took the appropriate response to those dangers. How many lies are in that half-witted statement? The intelligence services did not clear his speech. His speech did not detail the dangers posed by Saddam. And Bush's government did not take the appropriate response to those non-existent dangers. Every single thing that comes out of this man's mouth is an utter, complete, total lie. Isn't that clear now? Is there anything this thug could say for the rest of the time he disgraces the Oval Office that anyone will believe is truth except these knuckle-dragging, brain-dead, idiotic Republicans? Democrats, progressives, Greens, normal human beings in this country and around the world, every single time this thug opens his mouth now, we all know the truth. He is a liar. He does not take responsibility. Now, his not taking responsibility is not a surprise. George Failure Bush has never taken responsibility for anything. Nothing. It was always someone else's fault when his companies went bankrupt, when his governorship failed, when innocent people were executed in Texas. It was always somebody else's fault. Now it's George Tenet's fault. Well, I'm sorry, you little weasel, you little fake president. No, it's not. It's your fault. We're going to get you, George. I swear before all that I consider holy, which is really nothing, that we're going to get you. We're going to remove you from office, Mr. Bush, legally and peacefully. Do you understand that? You are going to be gone, legally, peacefully, and constitutionally. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Now, in a day when all of this was happening, there is this, Reuters News Agency. The White House ignored a request by the CIA to remove a statement in Bush's State of the Union address that Iraq was seeking uranium from Africa for its nuclear weapons program, CBS Evening News reported on Thursday. CBS. Now, last night we were talking about CBS. CBS had at their website, Bush knew Iraq information was false.
Today, the same headline, Bush knew Iraq information was dubious. They went back and changed it from false to dubious. Who got to CBS? Who got to CBS? Who called CBS up and said, we're going to get you. We're going to destroy you. Who did that? Somebody did. Are you getting dizzy from the spin? Bush knew Iraq info was false. That was last night, 7:36 p.m. Bush knew Iraq info was false. And that was changed to Bush knew Iraq info was dubious. I don't know what to say. Howard Dean issued the following statement today. Was it today or yesterday? Maybe it was today. Dean says those who misled the nation should resign. This is what Howard Dean said. Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld's statement yesterday that he only found out that the Niger documents were forgeries within recent days was stunning. What is now clear is that there are those in this administration that misled the president, misled the nation, and misled the world in making the case for a war in Iraq. They know who they are, and they should resign today. Well, Governor Dean, with all due respect, sir, it is not clear. It is not clear, Governor Dean, that there are those in this administration that misled the president. No, sir, that's not clear at all. What is clear is that the nation was misled. But I would argue with you, Governor Dean, I would say that Bush himself understood. I mean, the guy is extremely ignorant and stupid, but he's an operator. He's a thug. He's a punk. He knows how to play the angles. So I disagree with you, Governor Dean. But Governor Dean goes on. They know who they are, those people in this administration that misled everybody, and they should resign today. There will be investigations, and the truth will come out. The American people must know the truth, and those in this administration must be held accountable for their failure to give us the truth before we went to war. But we do not need to wait for the investigations to rid these people from our government. They can resign on their own today. Well, Governor Dean, again, with all due respect, I know, that these rat bastards will not. Why should they resign? They don't have to resign. Oh, Tenet may be gone. But Tenet has been a suspect from the beginning because he operates under the shadow of the mighty Clinton penis. So, of course, he has always been suspect. He's the fall guy. What do you suppose they've offered him? A seat on the board of the Carlyle Group? A nice lucrative position with Halliburton? Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. I hate these people. Kathy is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kathy.
God, I just love you to death. I listen to your work every day because I play at night.
Oh, bless your heart.
The night before. And you just, you know.
Well,
you're
good.
Inspiring.
I'm glad I can.
God love you.
Brighten up your day.
Let me tell you what I think. I figured out what they're doing here, and you know this is smart. They're saying technically, what Bush said was that you know the British intelligence had the information that this was happening.
Do you remember when they were all going, "Oh yeah, well it depends on what the definition of is."
That's exactly what's going on.
Well, sure.
And, you know, I can understand and appreciate the tap dance they're doing, but basically, when you look at what they're saying, we. Factually, it says, Tenet said at the time the speech was delivered, the line was factually correct.
Well, but that's not. See, Tenet is cutting his own throat. He's making himself look like a double liar. Because way back last October, before Bush made one of those threatening, snotty-ass, bully-down-the-street speeches in Cincinnati, the CIA, that would be George Tenet, said to Bush, this business about the uranium from Africa to Iraq is false.
Yeah, but see, Mike, what you're missing is, the fact is that it was correct that British intelligence believe that it had evidence of such activity. That's what they're saying.
Well, I guess that's the rat hole.
That is the technicality. They're saying, we believe, you know, at the time that that was correct, the statement that British intelligence had evidence.
That may be the rat hole that they're all trying to slither through, but it ain't going
to
work.
I agree, but I mean, that seems to be what they're trying to say, that particular sentence, the way he said it, was correct. But it also said that he said that the CIA's own investigation, said it was inclusive and that it should not have been, in the presidential address.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm wondering if it's also saying that he's not been asked to resign or have any plans. And so there's, you know, if he doesn't, I don't think it. I don't think they can make him resign because I think he knows too much.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think when he doesn't resign, then you really know the chits are in.
Right, right.
Because, you know, they're going to say, no, you don't have to go. You just need to fall on your sword, and we'll stand there. And
yeah, we'll make sure you're well taken care of. We'll put you in the witness protection program.
Well, no, they're going to make him not even resign.
Yeah.
He might do it just out of, because he has
whatever,
family commitment.
Right, whatever Tennant is going to do, it's already been decided. And you and I can sit here and speculate on it. But whatever's going to happen to George Tennant, it's already been worked out.
But I seem to remember when he even gave his speech, if I'm not wrong, with Scott Ritter and all that was going on, we all knew it at the time he said it. It was like instant. And this is the point. The fact he didn't come back, okay, Colin Powell didn't say it, 6 days later? When they found out it wasn't true, why didn't they come forth and say anything? Now, I think that right there is something that, you know, when they realized that it wasn't really true, then they had an obligation.
Sure.
You know, to come forth.
Well, but these people, Kathy, are liars, they are thugs, and they are killers. People of that stripe never speak the truth. Kathy, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
You have a good weekend. At the press gaggle with Ari and Condoleezza, Aunt Condi, on Air Force One today, where Rice said the CIA cleared the speech in its entirety. I can tell you, if the director of CIA had said, take this out of the speech, it would have been gone without question. Reporter says, Dr. Rice, it sounds as if you're blaming the CIA here. Rice, no, this is a clearance process. And a lot of things happen. We've said now we wouldn't have to put it in the speech if we had known what we know now. See what these bastards do? See what they do? Listen to this double talk, this snake talk, this fork-tongued snake talk coming out of Auntie Condi's mouth. But I can assure you that the president did not knowingly, before the American people, say something that we thought to be false. It's just outrageous that anybody would claim that. And then the questioner says, so a week later, Colin Powell goes to the UN and he decides, as he told us yesterday, not to put that sentence in at all. So what was the new development in those 7 days that led him to take it all out altogether? You see, Bush says it at the State of the Union address. Powell goes to the UN 7 days later and doesn't even bring it up. Why? Why? Condi. He took out a lot of things. If you got to the Secretary's statement, you will see that on the aluminum tubes, the Secretary says that there's some disagreement about the nature of these tubes, too, and he decided that he would not use the uranium story. Question. So you're saying that the Secretary of State is overruling the President? Auntie Condi, he's not overruling the president's judgment. The Secretary of State said, you know, I don't want to use this particular piece of information as I understand it. Listen to this, right? Listen to this. Colin Powell, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You had the power. You knew. You absolutely knew when you sat there on your well-upholstered ass at the UN Security Council and lied through your teeth. But you wouldn't lie about the uranium story because you knew. You knew. And you stayed with this government. You stayed with this government. Shame on you, Colin Powell. Shame on you. Shame on you, Colin Powell. Shame on you.
Took it all away, you see, yeah. It means nothing to me.
right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if
you
don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Stated policy of this government to have regime change, and it hasn't changed. Regime change, and there's ways, different ways to do it.
It's about 5 before the hour. 800 Talk Yes is where we are. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Man, I tell you, this stuff, this is just... This
can
is
can
just,
it get any more bizarre?
This is just precious, man.
Yeah.
This is precious, man. I you know, if anyone had told me a year ago, or hell, if anyone had told me this back when all of this stuff was going on back in 2000,
uh-huh,
I would never believe it.
Oh, well, do you really mean that?
I cannot... Well, let me tell you what I couldn't believe. I could believe that the Bush people would try it. I would believe that the Bush people would even put it out there, float the balloon. But I couldn't believe that the American public would swallow it as quickly,
okay,
as
yeah,
fully as they seem to be.
Yeah.
And
because you used to tune in when I was on WLS, right?
Yeah, man.
Okay, remember back, I don't know, when was it, 99? Yeah, because I'd left there in 2000. I think it was in the fall of 99 when it became apparent that this punk was going to run for the presidency. And I sent out that thing. It was a sidebar to a story in The Nation magazine that just laid out Bush's record in Texas. And I must have gotten, what did I get, Kathy? Hundreds upon hundreds of requests for that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we would sit there and talk every night. That's one of the reasons I got my ass kicked by WLS, because I was busting Bush every single night, busting him on his record.
Yeah, man, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, apparently not.
I mean, you know, every time I have one of my Republican, you know, friends, you know, comes up to me and tells me, oh, you know, at least, you know, we've got dignity back in the White House.
Yeah, I got your...
That's exactly what I thought.
I got your dignity right here.
Yeah,
now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn there that we were talking about how filthy Bush was 3-4 years ago. I'm just saying, you knew it, I knew it, a lot of people knew it, and I guess your point is, why is he still in office? After everything that this rat has done to this country, my God, how can this be? Bill Clinton gets an afternoon Hummer and they impeach him?
Bill Clinton is the best thing this country has had in the last 20 years.
Well, he's the best Republican.
Man, tell me, listen, I mean, think about it. Of all the presidents we've had in the last 20 years, who else would you possibly want?
I know.
Tell me right now that you wouldn't take Bill Clinton.
Given what we've had, yeah, I'd stick with Clinton. There are a lot of things that he did I didn't like, but given the choices, sure. Hey, Tony, we got a boogie.
Hey, I said at one point.
All right, well, let me put you on hold then.
Okay.
I'll come back to you right after the break, and we'll pick up the rest of your calls as soon as we come back. So do stay with us, okay? Okay? Okay. I know it's Friday night, and you got lots of fun things to do, but stick around.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. Liberian rebels are demanding embattled President Charles Taylor go into exile before an international force is deployed in the country. Meanwhile, a U.S. military team has examined a key access point in the capital, Monrovia, ahead of a decision on whether to send troops as part of the peacekeeping mission.
The White House is facing increasing pressure from lawmakers at home to send help to the war-torn African nation. Priscilla Huff reports.
Democratic critics of President Bush are writing letters to the White House indicating their support for sending American troops to Liberia. U.S. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from Bush's home state of Texas, strongly supports American intervention.
At the same time, I've joined the president asking for Charles Taylor to step down and leave the country. But I've added to my request that Charles Taylor be immediately tried for war crimes as he has been indicted.
Secretary of State Colin Powell has indicated a decision will be made within days. But back in Washington, conservatives argue that the U.S. has no national interest in Liberia. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
The chairman of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board says it's giving equal weight to the mechanical failure of the space shuttle and the systemic problems within NASA. Chairman Hal Gaiman says the board believes that falling foam from the shuttle's external tank may be just as responsible as faulty inspection systems implemented by the space program. The final report on the Columbia tragedy is expected late next month. For the first time, the board released what it calls a working scenario of the shuttle disaster that details the doomed mission from liftoff through its failed attempt at reentry.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke-Free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
A group of inspectors and consultants has resumed the hunt for clues behind last week's Coors Field escalator mishap that hospitalized 32 fans. The incident took place after the July 2nd game when the escalator at Gate C on the first base side of the ballpark lurched forward. This morning, about a dozen men armed with clipboards, digital cameras, and ratchet wrenches and cell phones were seen around the base of the escalator. They declined to speak to reporters until the day's inspection was complete. A Tacoma, Washington-based feed plant that has admitted violating safeguards to protect against mad cow disease may be shut down. The Food and Drug Administration says it will try to close XL Feeds Incorporated. In court papers filed seeking a permanent injunction against XL, the FDA says the company has introduced adulterated and misbranded animal feeds into interstate commerce. FDA adds that the company failed to comply with agency regulations designed to prevent the establishment and spread of mad cow disease should it ever be found in the United States.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Democrats are vowing to fight against a massive cut in funding for Amtrak. The House Appropriations Subcommittee voted today to cut funding for the nation's rail system. President Bush had requested $900 million for Amtrak. The panel voted to allocate just $580 million. Amtrak says it needs $1.8 billion to survive. Oklahoma Republican Ernest Istook says for too long Amtrak has been making promises that it can't deliver. In its 30 years of operation, Amtrak has never turned a profit and owes $4 billion. The ranking Democrat on the Appropriations Subcommittee is Representative John Oliver of Massachusetts. He says the cut would strangle the nation's rail systems. On Wall Street, stocks ended the week on a positive note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 84 points to 91.20. The S&P 500 jumped 9 points to 998. The NASDAQ climbed 18 to 1734. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke had some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A couple of quick emails here. Well, no, wait a minute. We're talking with Tony Waukegan. Almost forgot. Tony, I apologize. Thanks for holding on.
Just one quick point, then I'm off the phone.
All right.
I want to hear how they're going to explain. You remember the story that came out, this guy that came on Meet the Press earlier this week, the ambassador. Remember that he was the ambassador to
Wilson?
Yeah. And he
was the ambassador to Gabon.
Niger?
Gabon. Another African country.
Right.
Gabon. He was the former ambassador to Gabon.
Right. And he went out and he checked on this, remember?
Right, exactly.
And he said on Meet the Press that he talked to the vice president's office.
Yeah, he talked directly to Cheney and told him it was a lie.
So how are
a year ago.
Yeah. So how are they going to? So how is this tenant's fault again?
Well, because they look at us, they look at the American public, Tony. As first of all, we don't remember anything from a year ago or last week. They look at us as fools, as sheep, as morons, as idiots. So they come out, Condoleezza comes out, Bush comes out, Cheney comes out. They say these things. Nobody questions. Not one of these rat bastard press people will say, wait a second, what about Dick Cheney finding out a year ago the story was a lie? Because they disrespect us. They have no more respect, Tony, for the American public than I have for some worm or some crawling thing in the bottom of my garden. That's the way it always is with totalitarians. They don't give a damn about you and me.
Yeah.
So they just figure, we'll say whatever we want, because the American sheeple will just sit back, shut up, and believe it. Look, Tony, if we sat on our asses when they stole the presidency, then they know we'll sit on our asses no matter what they do.
I'm afraid you may be right, and that is the most distressing and most disheartening thing I think I've heard in a long time.
Well, it's true to a point. Eventually, when people start to feel oppressed enough, they do respond. And I'm not talking about a ballot box.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Oh. That's the only reason. The only reason these people do what they do. Because of the utter, it's not disrespect, the utter contempt that they have for the American public. Oh, jeez. Have I said yet this hour? I hate them. from Todd. Mike, it is so ironic, so typical, so unsurprising of the Republican Bush regime. the party of personal responsibility, to attempt to lay this off on Tenet. Or he says, isn't it ironic? What a surprise. Wasn't Bush supposed to be the president that changed the tone in D.C.? Isn't that what he promised in his campaign? He's going down, Mike. It's just a matter of time. The truth of his sham presidency is beginning to show. Todd. From Frank in Boston. Hi, Mike and Kathy. I haven't watched network TV for a while at your suggestion and feel I'm the better for it. Tonight, to see how the horrors were reacting to the lie, I watched a couple of shows. Here are some of the better quotes of the night. On a show called MSNBC Special Report, sounds noble, doesn't it? Christopher Hitchens. The Bush administration rightly assumed the guilt of Hussein. Wouldn't you like to just smack Christopher Hitchens right across his rubbery lips, huh? On the same show and panel, Jerry Nachman, editor-in-chief. What's the big deal about one line in his speech? On Hardball with Mike Barnicle. Now, Barnicle, of course, is a guy who ended his career with the Boston Globe because he stole other people's writing and tried to make it out to be his. Roy Blunt, Republican congressman from Missouri. A few words in a 67-minute speech? What's the big deal? On the same show, Eric Denzenhall, former Reagan official. Bush will not be held accountable for a Machiavellian plan to distort. That's from Frank. Thanks, Frank. I know it's putting yourself through a lot to sit there and watch these different programs long enough to get those quotes. I almost said put yourself through, All right, where are we? Nadine, our Honolulu Bureau Chief, is checking in. Hey, Nadine.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
First off, I would like to offer you some hope.
Well, go right ahead.
1973, April 30th. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and Dean resigned.
Right.
And that was only the beginning. This scandal is not dying. I've been doing what I've been doing for a while, which is basically checking what is the reaction of the American people on boards. And it's getting nasty out there. People are pissed. Now, what people have to realize is that the only reason why they think they can get away with this is because we are too lazy to get off our dubs and tell Congress that Tenet served on a hot plate is not enough. We want Condi as an appetizer, continuing with Bush.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I completely agree. And I know that there's a lot of outrage out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can be exposed to the outrage every day. If you're waiting for someone to give you some service at a Home Depot or a restaurant, you run into outrage. If you run into road rage, if you're trying to make a left turn or somebody honks at you at a light, the rage is out there. It's unfocused. People don't understand that the rage is there because we are losing our jobs. We are losing our incomes. We are watching the economy continue to stagnate. We are aware that the top 5% continues to suck off more and more and more.
Mike?
So the rage is there. Now, how to focus the rage, Nadine? We also know, I think a lot of us know, to the extent that it's possible to really know this, that the next election is going to be an utter and absolute sham and a fraud. Because of these damnable voting machines that are controlled by religious fanatics. So
I actually think we're going to have an election where the Democrats are going to win. I'm actually thinking that, okay?
If the machines are not rigged, and they appear to be, I'm telling you, we're not. I wish I
that
shared.
That story is breaking.
I wish I shared your.
That story is breaking.
Right, I understand. I wish I shared your enthusiasm or your hope, Nadine, but there's a part of me that does not see a very good outcome where it concerns the Bush crime family. Why would these people who are totalitarian, who are dictators, who are thugs, why would they willingly give up power after one illegal four-year term? Why would they, if they are defeated, why would they take the chance of being defeated?
It's not going to be willingly. Mike,
excuse me?
This is not going to be willingly. They're going to have to give it up.
Why would they?
Because if they don't, then the, there's that other option.
No, no. You declare a state of emergency, suspend the election or the results of the election, and the American sheeple just sit back on their asses and continue.
Yeah,
look, it's very easy. It's very easy to live in a totalitarian, corporatist state. It's very easy.
People are waking up. I keep telling you this.
I hope
you're
right. I hope you're right, Nadine. I hope you're right. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. Thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right, I appreciate it. I do. I hope Nadine is right. I hope I also hoped that the American people would have realized in the midterm elections here back in the fall how degenerate and disgusting this regime was, and that we, the American people, would do something to put a check and balance, to put a stop to this insanity. And what did we do? We gave them more power. We gave them more power. I wish I shared Nadine's optimism. I do not. Now, that doesn't mean in the least that I'm ready to throw it in. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Never. Never. What I am suggesting, you know, people who illegally seize power, I don't care if it's Mao Zedong, I don't care if it's Joe Stalin, I don't care if it's Charles Taylor, I don't care who it is. George Bush. People who illegally seize power, do not give it up to the democratic process. Show me one example in history where they do. You cannot. The Bush crime family understands clearly what they did. We have this election in 2004. Let's assume it's not rigged. And it comes back with the Democratic candidate getting, pick a number, 62% of the vote. No, that 57% of the vote. And the Republican Bush getting 43% of the vote. Do you honestly believe that this cadre is going to give up power? Oh, no. They learned that lesson with Pappy Bush. And they lost their platform for 8 long years. These people are dying. These are old white men who are dying. They're getting old. They're in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Okay, maybe not the 80s, but 60s and 70s. These thugs understand this is their last shot at establishing American fascism globally. You think they're going to give up power simply because the American people vote them out of office or attempt to vote them out of office? Come on! I'm not talking to Nadine. I'm talking to anybody who thinks that a totalitarian cadre that illegally seizes power in any society, I don't care if it's here, Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, tell me one example from history where an illegal seizure of power has given way willingly to a democratic process. Willingly. Give me one. I beg you. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Back to your phone calls. I'm getting too weird tonight. Thank God it's Friday.
So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork?
On the day the Nazi died, the world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats.
They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride.
And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died.
No, I've always, you know, a dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier. There's no question about it.
Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Well, it seems my friend and Mark Rasko have become regular political pen pals. Rasko is the former Enron lobbyist who now chairs the Republican National Committee. He recently sent a special questionnaire on national issues to my friend, saying that she had been carefully chosen to represent the opinions of all Republicans in her area. He asked that she respond promptly to the questions so he and other party leaders could know what grassroots Republicans in her area were thinking. He also asked that she send $500. She didn't do that, but she was pleased to do her duty and answer all of the questions, feeling quite privileged to represent local Republican thinking on America's crucial issues, especially since she's a Democrat. You might think that that would have been the end of that, but no. Rasko came right back with a second missive, enclosing an exclusive RNC gold card for her. The Charter Member Gold Card is awarded annually to recognize grassroots activists like you, wrote Rasko. Well, my friend thought it was mighty big of the GOP to honor even activists like her, who actively opposed the autocratic, plutocratic agenda of the whole Bush gang. She was especially touched by the chairman's personal appeal at the end. President Bush and I are hoping you will join us today, the letter said. That's very thoughtful of the president, she said to me, but really, shouldn't George have other things on his mind besides worrying whether I'll join him? Once again, Chairman Rasko asked that she send some money to the party, explaining that this would be a nice gesture and show that she appreciated being one of the select few Americans to achieve gold card status at the RNC. This is Jim Hightower saying, once again, however, she declined, thinking it would be a bit tacky to sully such an honor with cold cash. But, she says, she's never had a gold card, and she's looking forward to making a special trip to Neiman Marcus to buy something nice with it. And she sure hopes Mark keeps writing to her.
Congratulations, Antoinette. You stopped the counting time. Well, your boy's lead was getting mighty slim. And those black robes couldn't hide your Bush t-shirt there inside. You made the man with a few votes win.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
24 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Jeremy is calling from Jacksonville, Alabama. Jeremy, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah.
You're welcome aboard.
Well, it's great to talk to you, man. You're sort of like a hero of ours. I think you should run for president.
No thanks. No thanks.
Well, you see, in this country, there's so much unconsciousness. People are unaware of what's happening in the world. There was a caller yesterday that was mentioning how much hatred against Americans there were. But a great friend of mine just recently went to England.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is these kids over there are activists. They don't support McDonald's. They don't support corporations, I feel, are victimizing. And people are perceiving it over here through the right-wing news that, oh, it's anti-American. It's not anti-American. It's anti-Bush. It's anti-Bush administration.
Well, I think you're right, and but I think that's what I think that was the subtext of what the caller was saying the other night.
Okay.
I don't think people, unless they've really been poisoned about Americans, I don't think people in different countries really hate us.
No, they don't.
They hate what our government is doing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them hate what their own governments are doing. But they I think traditionally they looked at the United States. You know, why does everybody want to come here? Because there is there still is freedom when you compare it to
China, or
what exists in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
It's being eroded, it's being destroyed. But
it's still relative.
But I think people in the Middle East, I think people in Europe, I think people in South America, people in certain African countries, are much more aware of political reality than we are. And it's because we've always had it easy. Until the Bush crime family, we've never had a coup in this country. We've had talk of coups. We had the so-called civil war here, but we've not had war on our territory since 1812. And that was an invading force. We have been spoiled. You look at Senegal, look at Britain, look what happened in London, the bombing of London by the Wehrmacht or the Luftwaffe during the opening rounds of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Paris, occupied.
They know what war is.
Right. Look at South Africa.
Yeah.
Look at Egypt, where they live under a military dictatorship. I mean, the rest of the world has suffered through some really hideous stuff. You and I and our grandparents and parents, we had the Depression. Oh, we had the Hoovervilles. Oh, we had a lot of people who were unemployed. But we have not suffered the way other societies have. And as a result of that, we have not been forced to educate ourselves, whereas people around the world understand totalitarianism. They understand fascism. They understand communism. And they understand the fragility of representative government. So,
yeah,
I think,
family.
Right, and I think when they see this Bush crime family, that's what they're criticizing. But I agree with you. I don't think people are saying Americans are bastards. No.
No, they're not. I've got a professor of geography that has traveled to Gaza, and he said those people would welcome you in with open arms and feed you lavishly and tell you straight
up. Sure.
We don't hate you. It's your government.
Right. I don't think there's, that's such a tradition in other countries, and it is not necessarily here. Now, part of that is because we're relatively young.
Yeah.
This country is 217, 18 years old. You go to the Middle East, you go to Africa, you go to Europe, you're talking 200, 500, 700, 2,000-year-old societies.
And over here we have, 10,000-year-old societies that have been covered up with dirt that we don't even realize existed.
There you go.
Like the Mississippian phase, there are things going on, a level of development, and people think the Indians just walked around with teepees. That's crazy. That's because they're under attack.
Yeah, I hear that. Jeremy, I'm glad you found the program. Thanks for checking. I hope you're going to call again, pal.
Okay.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Dogs appear to have a unique ability to read cues in human behavior. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. A researcher at Harvard University has shown that dogs have a sense about people that sets them apart from other animals. He says dogs can read simple cues in human behavior, and it appears to be a talent they're born with. Brian Hare is an anthropology student at Harvard. He ran a series of experiments to compare how well dogs, chimpanzees, and wolves can read simple signals from people. Hare concealed bits of food under a cup and put it near an identical cup that was empty. Then he let each animal choose which cup to knock over to find the treat. Hare ran the test with 11 dogs, 11 chimps, and 7 wolves. Before each animal made its choice, one of his co-workers tried to show which cup covered the food by either pointing at it or staring at it. Hare says the results were surprising. Almost all of the dogs picked the cup with the food based on a point or a stare, but very few of the chimps and none of the wolves showed the same ability. Hare says the fact that wolves could not interpret the signals means dogs must have developed this talent after they evolved from their wild cousins. Hare wanted to know whether dogs are born with an ability to read human actions or if they learn it through interaction with people. To find out, he gave the point-and-stare test to 2 groups of puppies. One had been raised with regular human contact, the other with very little.
That was the most surprising result. Essentially, if we looked at dogs who were not reared in a human family and compared them to dogs that were reared in a human family, they performed equally well. There was no difference. So it didn't seem like it was necessary to have experienced lots of human contact to do well in these tasks.
Hare says his research is part of an effort to understand how all animals, including humans, developed their abilities to think, communicate, and solve problems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I got my dad's gavel sitting here.
Okay.
Court's in session.
Court's in session. All right. Let her rip.
The Honorable Mike Malloy, Attorney General, and Judge Tanner presiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, God loves you, man, and I think he's blessed us all with your radio station.
No, no, come on. What, look, you know, I've said before, I'm probably pretty much an atheist, so...
you know, whoever is controlling the skies.
Or I believe in the goddess.
You know, whatever. Yeah, the goddess. Yeah, yeah. That, you know,
but anyway, what you're really called about...
Well, I think you ought to be on the same time the pig man's on. That way we can flush him out.
Well, I tried that here in Atlanta about 7 years ago, and he just mopped the floor with me.
When you were in Chicago, right?
No, when I was here in Atlanta.
Okay. I didn't know you were in Atlanta that long. Okay.
Oh, I've been here for almost 30 years. Right before I got fired from WSB to make way for Dr. Laura, I was on at from noon to 3, and the pig man was on WGST from noon to 3, and he just cleaned my clock. That was back in 94, though, when the Gingrich Revolution was in full flower, and it was very easy for people to listen to Rush, especially here in the South, because they thought he was, I don't know, Jesus's cousin or something.
Yeah, I was wanting to say something about what Lane, your new caller, said last night, if you can recall. he really hit the nail on the head, talking about the mind frame of the religious right and how that is such the main frame of how so many people think these days, especially churchgoers, of how you have to make it on your own and this kind of thing. You know, I was homeless and ill for 3 years way back when, and you know the church around here didn't do a goddamn thing for me. Pardon the language.
Well, you got to watch that.
And they're all going to burn in hell. I'm sorry, but they are. And as far as I'm trying to start a petition for the death penalty for the Bush crime family. I'm wanting you to help me with a draft.
I've got more on my plate than I could possibly handle, Patrick. But I tell you what, you get the petition going and ask for signatures, I'll be happy to sign it.
Well, I'm just wanting you to help me with the draft.
But on the other hand, I don't think so, because I am really opposed. Well, now I've said before, I'm definitely opposed to capital punishment, to the death penalty, except possibly mass murders, and certainly that would include most of the people in the Bush crime family. Yeah, absolutely. Let me know how it goes. Patrick, thank you. I got to move on. I appreciate your call, pal. Let me know how the petition goes. I've just got to drop this in. Then we go right back to your calls here. Pat Robertson. Patrick brought this up about these religious crazies. Pat Robertson, in recent broadcast on his program, The 700 Club. Now, I don't watch that garbage anymore. I used to watch that religious freakoid stuff just for comic relief, but Pat Robertson, I can't stand. This guy is a personal friend of Satan. He's a disciple of the devil. So I can't watch him. You know, I don't like to let that kind of evil leak into my living room where my television is. You know, you put Robertson on and your house fills up with just dank, sulfurous evil. So I'm quoting from the Post, Washington Post. It says, in recent broadcasts of the 700 Club, which is watched by an estimated 1 million households, Robertson has defended Charles Taylor. Now, this is the Liberian dictator who has been indicted by an international court for crimes against humanity. This is a perfect matchup, Charles Taylor and Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson is responsible for more evil on this planet than any. Well, he's in the top 10. He's just a filthy, sulfurous, stenched demon from hell, Pat Robertson. Ugh. Anyway, Robertson has been defending Charles Taylor as a fellow Baptist and Liberia's freely elected leader. Now, Charles Taylor seized power, I think, in the late 80s and caused so much hell and terrorized the population. And then I think sometime in the 90s, he had a, quote, election, close quote. And if you didn't vote for Charles Taylor, well, you know how that goes. Pat Robertson refers to him as a freely elected leader. And Pat Robertson, one of Satan's chief deputies, says that the horrible bloodbath taking place in Liberia is the fault of the State Department. Our State Department. On his Monday program, according to the Washington Post, he said, "So we're undermining a Christian Baptist president to bring in Muslim rebels to take over the country. And how dare the president of the United States say to the duly elected president of another country, you've got to step down." Can you imagine this filthy pig, this stenchy, sulfurous, smelling devil from hell, Pat Robertson, saying that we're undermining a Christian? Charles Taylor is a Christian the same way I'm a chimpanzee. Now, what Robertson doesn't discuss in these broadcasts is his financial ties to Charles Taylor and the diamonds in Liberia, the diamond trade that has been used to fund God knows how much murder and mayhem in Western Africa. Pat Robertson is drenched in blood. A professor of political science, University of Oklahoma, and the author of a forthcoming book on evangelicals and human rights, said many religious conservatives, quote, will be horrified, close quote, by Robertson's comments. He said, quote, his comments really feed into the media critique of Christian conservatives, that they are not sophisticated, they don't care about others, all they care about are so-called Christians around the world. In his broadcast, Pat Robertson has portrayed the Liberian Civil War as primarily a fight between Christians and Muslims, which it is not. But Pat Robertson, he's the one who, along with Jerry Falwell, blamed the attacks on this country on September 11th on liberals and feminists and gays and Democrats and pagans. Do we have anybody who professes to be a religious leader in this country who is as vile as Pat Robertson? Brother Sky Blue is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Brother Sky Blue.
Hello, is this Savage Nation?
I think you may have the wrong number.
Is this Scarborough Country?
I think you may have the wrong
number. Oh, this is Mike Malloy.
It is indeed.
Oh, let me find my notes here. Mike.
Sir.
This is Brother Sky Blue. You know, we have the pursuit of happiness here in America as long as it doesn't include sitting cross-legged on the floor and smoking pot.
Amen.
Well, but, you know, I never underestimate the stupidity of the American public. You know, the Jerry Seinfeld show and the Kelsey Grammer and the Allen, these sitcoms, you know, I've got to confess, I've watched Married with Children and the Beverly Hillbillies a few times.
Yeah,
You know, when they say a line and then all these people start laughing, do people really believe that there are people laughing at everything these people say? I mean, you know, and that's not to talk about these religious shysters.
You mean kind of like that?
Yeah. You know, I've got me a comedy-okey machine.
You do?
And I tell a joke, and then I press the button, and there's all this laughter behind it.
Yeah.
You can't lose like this. Okay, let's get right down to business now about these religious shysters.
Okay.
Like Pat Robertson. You know, I am for a jihad on American culture, not an Islamic jihad, a Christian jihad. I was brought up in this fundamentalist Christianity, and I watched a lot of these shysters rob, rape, and plunder the communities, but I kept searching the library shelves until I came across the theological writings of the 17th century Swedish theologian Emanuel Swedenborg.
Yes.
Now, most Christians in America believe that Jesus Christ is going to return in the blue sky. But you see, what they don't understand is that Jesus Christ has already returned, but not in the clouds of the sky, but in the clouds of the scriptures of the Bible. The Word of God, the Bible, is a weapon of mass destruction. These religious media, this religious media broadcasters in America, this TBN network, and these religious radio broadcasters,
uh-huh,
they got a monopoly. You can't get, unless you teach their theology, you can't even buy time on these religious. You know, most people you talked about, it's hard to believe. Well, the Doobie Brothers, what they had that song, Jesus is Just All Right With Me.
That's right.
Well, you know, a lot of people believe like this. And I don't think we should take away, somebody said, what, religion is the opiate of the people?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think it would be cruel to take away the masses' faith and hope without giving them something better. And that's what the writings and the theology of the Church of the New Jerusalem have. And I guess I'll have to send you a letter, because I'm very serious about this. You know, I think that... I just don't know. Like what I say, I'm very serious about this.
Well, send me something. Do you have my mailing address?
Well, no, my little brother's got you on his website. I guess I could send you an email, huh?
You can send me an email. I'll be happy to send you my mailing address.
All right, well, maybe we can do that. I'm just now getting computer literate myself. And maybe you can give me some pointers how I can get this message of mine out to the...
Well, Brother Sky Blue, you have a magical way with words, so I don't think you'll have any problem. Just put down on paper what you put on the program, and you'll do fine, bro.
Okay, Mike. We'll get back with you.
Thank you, Brother Sky Blue. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. What do I do? I turned myself off here. 800 Talk Yes. Robert is calling from L.A. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up? Is this Sean Hannity?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Let me catch him.
Yeah, all right. You know, one caller and get away with that. Come on, Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to make you happy.
I'm just happy as a pig in swill. I really am. I'm just a very happy man tonight.
Yeah, right. Anyway. Yeah, I just want to let you know that I've decided to make a crusade for you.
Oh, yeah?
I want to officially become the official Los Angeles correspondent for the Mike Malloy program.
Well, you know, we don't have a bureau chief there, so do we, Kathy? Let me check. No, we don't. You want to be the Los Angeles bureau chief?
Yes, I do.
I mean, that's up there. That is in the pantheon of special folks where it concerns this program, when you're a bureau chief, okay? All right.
Yeah, and I will... Do I have to take some type of oath or something?
No, you have to send me some money. But...
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. If you want to be the bureau chief, we have openings all over the country. So if you want to be the Los Angeles bureau chief, you got it, Robert.
Okay. All right. The official L.A. bureau chief.
That's it.
Real quickly. Now, I have made a commitment to start monitoring what other people, listen to other talk shows, specifically these right-wing talk shows,
right,
and to get a better idea of what people are saying regarding to the situation with this lie from the Bush administration.
Right.
Now, I'll listen to one show, Mr. O'Reilly or Mr. O'Reilly.
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of those, a couple of calls that I did listen to because I was at work, so it's hard to listen to drive at the same time.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed to me that they were starting to ask, okay, well, if this is a situation where Mr. Bush is lying, it needs to be addressed, you know. And that's, you know, and technically I think that's a start. So I think maybe not as much as we want it to be, but I think it started to seem like a lot more people are...
Well, it depends on whether or not media jumps on this bandwagon.
Right.
Now, remember, America wanted to know all about Clinton's penis. America wanted to know all about what Monica and Bill did in the Oval Office. America
right.
wanted to hear
exactly.
the tapes that whorish Lucianne Gold, or what was the other one, Linda Tripp had recorded.
Right.
America wanted to know. And what did we get? If you remember, Robert, and a lot of it came from some of those thuggish types out there in L.A. every single day on cable television, on and on and on about Bill Clinton's private parts and Bill Clinton's this and Monica that and on and on. And who drove that? The media drove it. Now, if the media will fulfill their duty, and their duty is to try to get back to the idea of informing the population of this country, if the media will do its duty and keep this story out there, then Americans will I think demand that this thug either resign or there be an investigation. You know, we impeached the president because he lied about sex.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's ridiculous. But I do think that, you know, we do need if the media, if people as a whole are really upset about what goes on with what happened in Iraq, then the people will demand it. But there's a part of me that feels so pessimistic about it. It's like you feel, just like you feeling pessimistic. It's
That's
just,
right.
Like, they don't care. You know, it's like, come on, man. It's just, you know, right now we're living under a situation where it's completely tyrannical. You know, people, if you speak out against these notions, you're viciously attacked for being liberal or un-American, unpatriotic. But I'm like, you know, we need to really get on the ball here and try to find some ways. I don't know, Mike. Maybe you can help me out. Try to find some way to make the American people listen and go beyond what we beyond your show and
well,
beyond
we just,
the radio
we,
network,
we,
the alternative media. Go tell the people, tell the ABC, NBC folks. You know, set aside their corporate
I got you. We just got to keep talking about it. We got to keep talking amongst ourselves, and we got to bring more people into the circle. That's all we can do. Hey,
Mike, send me your address, and I'm going to send you a couple of songs upon your.
Well, email me, and I'll send it back to you.
Okay, cool, man. Have a good one, man.
All right, you too. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Siphon up your life.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him? Okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
No, sit down and shut up, will you? Bush is seen as, he's starting to be seen in certain parts of the world as, if not a demon, somebody who's very dangerous. For example, a South African radio host reported that just prior to Bush's trip there, she had several worried callers who were afraid that Bush might try to take over their country. Because to these people, it's very clear that Bush is a dictator. It's Bush they're afraid of and dislike, and his control over the U.S. military, and his control of nuclear weapons, and the fact that these people understand who he is and what he's about, even though they don't live here. You don't have to be a genius to see this guy from that perspective. It's Bush they're afraid of, not Americans. And we're all being tainted by the stain of this administration. You know, guilt by association, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand, I don't think, what happened in the election in 2000 in this country. Don't understand it from the perspective of, well, if Bush is so bad, how did the American people let him assume power? That's the part they don't understand. You know, I keep using the Slobodan Milosevic example after the bombing of Serbia, and there was an election. And Milosevic tried to rig the results. And everybody knew it. And they marched on the Yugoslavian parliament building. And they stayed there. And it was very clear. You didn't win the election. Get your ass out of there. Get out. So people around the world, they look at us and they try to... They try to understand, well, and so many of them live in certain parts of the world under military dictatorships, so it's not surprising that they see Bush and his misuse of the military taking place right before their eyes. It is very confusing, but the story from South Africa I thought was just not atypical at all. We're afraid if Bush comes to our country, he's going to come to destroy. All right, your phone calls right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. President Bush has rejected reports that his administration ignored CIA warnings about a comment in his last State of the Union speech. He says intelligence agencies cleared the statement before he publicly stated that Iraq tried to buy uranium from the African country of Niger to build nuclear weapons. However, Brown University political science professor Darrell West says the issue has made Bush politically vulnerable.
You have lots of announced Democrats. They're becoming increasingly strident in criticizing President Bush on foreign policy, so clearly they see some political opportunities for themselves.
In light of the unrest and the mounting American casualties in post-war Iraq, West says the president must recognize that winning the peace is as important as winning the war. He says that for his own political prospects in next year's election, Bush must demonstrate that it was a good thing to wage war in Iraq. Attorneys for sniper suspect John Muhammad were in a Manassas courtroom this afternoon seeking a change of venue in the case. The lawyers hope to convince a judge that an impartial jury cannot be found in Prince William County. Muhammad is charged with the killing of a Gaithersburg man last October and is suspected in 12 other sniper attacks, which resulted in 9 more deaths. The trial of Muhammad's co-defendant, Lee Malvo, has already been moved by a judge from Fairfax County to Chesapeake, Virginia.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A member of the NYPD hierarchy may be on the wrong side of the law. Deputy Commissioner Frederick Patrick was arrested today on suspicion of mail fraud. Patrick's charged with stealing more than $100,000 from the nonprofit New York City Correction Foundation. He serves the foundation as both president and treasurer. Patrick is also head of the police department's Office of Community Affairs. He's been suspended without pay. Improved beginning teacher salaries and a depressed job market for college graduates in fields outside of teaching have helped alleviate the national teacher shortage. Amy Bolander, president of the American Federation of Teachers in Dallas, says California had the best job market for teachers with experience.
The average salary is California with $54,000, Michigan with almost $53,000, Connecticut almost $53,000, and then Rhode Island with $52,000, New York with $51,000.
The report said the average starting salary was almost $31,000, up 3.2% over the previous year. For the 2001-2002 school year, the average national teacher salary with experience was over $44,000. The report also states there remains a considerable shortage for teachers in math, physics, chemistry, earth science, biology, and Spanish.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Dave Daytime Talk is getting a new diva. Sharon Osbourne will take her place on the afternoon sofa to host her own show this fall. Sharon will debut on the WB Network in September. The 50-year-old mother of three says she could never be as good as Oprah. She says she won't be recommending books, but plans to interview people who really interest her. That included a woman arrested for breastfeeding her baby while driving her car. The show will also feature a Sharon cam, which will be hooked up to her house to allow live talkbacks with her husband, rocker Ozzy Osbourne. She may also use her children, Jack and Kelly, as reporters. On Wall Street, a brokerage firm's upgrade on Home Depot, along with a good outlook from GE, helped stocks finish the week with a positive trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 84 points to 91.20. The S&P 500 jumped 9 points to 998. The NASDAQ climbed 18 to 1734. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Well, we're in the home stretch now, huh? All right, before we go back to your calls, this is from Greenville, South Carolina. A former radio personality there was fired for opposing the U.S. invasion of Iraq. That's according to a lawsuit filed a couple of days ago in Greenville, South Carolina. Roxanne Cordonnier, who went by the name on the radio Roxanne Walker, at 102.5, that's WMYI-FM in Greenville, South Carolina. She alleges she was belittled, reprimanded, and ultimately fired back on April 17th for disagreeing with her co-hosts on the program titled, it was called Love and Hudson. That's the name of the show, Love and Hudson. She has filed a lawsuit against WMYI, its parent company, Clear Channel. Bill McMartin, the company's regional vice president, general manager, and Greg McKinney, station program director, they are all named as defendants in the suit. A spokeswoman for the Clear Channel Network based in San Antonio, Texas, said the company does not comment on pending lawsuits. The suit alleges that the co-hosts, 2 male co-hosts on this program, encouraged Roxanne Cordonnier to join their pro-war discussions regarding the invasion of Iraq. The conversations became contentious on several occasions, and management's tolerance for opinions decreased as war drew closer, according to the lawsuit. In other words, get on the bandwagon, kill, destroy, bomb, or your ass is going to be fired.
Now, the woman's lawsuit also alleges that her two male co-hosts belittled her, both on and off the air, because of her political beliefs. She told the Greenville News this past Monday, "I went through hell. I was forced out because I would not comply with their orders to be silent." Roxanne Cordonnier alleges in her lawsuit that some of the Clear Channel officers and directors have financial ties and are loyal to Bush and his policies. The suit also alleges that Cordonnier was forced to participate in pro-war rallies. The suit states a state law, or cites a state law in South Carolina, that declares a person cannot be fired because of political opinions. Now, Roxanne Cordonnier was named the 2002 Radio Personality of the Year by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. She says she believes it's an employer's right to broadcast what it wants, but that it shouldn't stifle opposing views. Either don't talk about it at all or make it fair, she said. Well, you have my respect, Roxanne Cordonnier. I hope you wind up owning Clear Channel. I know how that feels. Believe me, I know how it feels to be forced out of your job. I don't care, you know, with me it happened to be radio, but to be forced out because of my political point of view. And it didn't happen in South Carolina, it happened in Chicago. ABC, WLS, and Mike Elder put my ass on the street. But that's just the way it goes, you know. I'm not whining. It's fine. Everything's fine. But when I saw the story about this woman, Roxanne Cordonnier, in Greenville, South Carolina, I just thought, yeah, well, been there. Been there, sister. So we'll mention your problem on the air. But, you know, I didn't sue. I hope this woman sues. I hope she winds up owning the radio station, frankly. Or the entire network. Jerry is calling from Mokena, Illinois. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
As long as you're giving out coveted Mike Malloy girl chips, yeah. I'd like to apply for one.
In Mokena?
In Mokena, as not from being Mokena, but for keeping track of Bush's polls.
Oh, you want to be the Bush poll bureau chief?
That's right.
Oh, all right. Do we have one of those, Kathy? I don't think we do. All right. Kathy is nodding her head. She's either going to sleep or she's... Oh,
well, you
okay.
Made my day.
All right. You are
okay.
The Bush poll bureau chief.
And here's your first update.
All right.
In the latest poll, CBS, he's down 6%. Yesterday, in the Pew poll, he was down 5%. 2 days ago, in the Fox poll, he was down 5%. Bush is dropping.
I hope he drops like a stone. I don't. Well, on the other hand, though, you know, I've said on this program, and I hope this is just nonsense on my part. I hope it's just irrational gibberish on my part. I've said that if his numbers fall below 50%, we are going to have more mass death in this country, another so-called terrorist attack.
Well, I put on my website, www.democratsforum.com, I put in there that if he goes down, we're going to have another war. Syria, somewhere, preferably someplace with oil. But we'll have another war because Wag the Dog worked at least temporarily the first time.
Well, but I think the American public is starting to understand now. The Pentagon just announced that 1,000 of our soldiers, 1,000 plus, were wounded in the Iraq War. Not just 200 plus U.S. dead, but also 1,000 soldiers. And some of those wounds are disfiguring. They're going to be there forever. And that doesn't take into account whatsoever the long-term ill effects from dealing in a war zone where depleted uranium is being used. It doesn't take into account the mental stress. The kids that are in the military now, I don't want to piss anybody off, but the kids in the military now, for the most part, they're not killers. They're not there. They're not in the military to go pacify and destroy another country. And I don't care how many times they go, wah! You know, I don't care. That's a result of basic training. These are kids who are looking for either an education or a job. And they happen to enlist and they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now a bunch of them are dead. And another bunch of them are wounded. I hate these people. I just hate this Bush. Well, I've already said that twice tonight.
Speaking of depleted uranium, I know you know this, but everyone may not. The first thing when we went into Iraq that we took care of was the southern oil fields. As soon as we got to Baghdad, the first thing we took care of was the building, the oil ministry building.
Sure, sure.
A week and a half later, we bothered to go over and look at their nuclear power plant, where there was all sorts of uranium that had been looted.
Missing, sure.
And now there's people over there getting sick left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, partially it's their fault. They took the uranium, and they shouldn't have. But on the other hand, we took care of our number one priority, oil, and our last priority was worrying about anything nuclear. Wasn't that the reason we went in there? Because he had nuclear bombs?
Well, that's what the lie was about, that he was restarting his nuclear program. That's what this Niger uranium lie was all about. As far as nuclear material, like any country that is civilized, they have nuclear reactors for power generation. So yeah, there's nuclear material lying around. Tell me a country that is at a certain level of industrialization or a certain economic level that doesn't have nuclear reactors. I mean, Mexico, France, Iran, China, South Korea, North Korea, Iraq. So it really doesn't mean that much.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right, and you are now the Bush Poll Bureau Chief.
Made my day.
Thank you, Jerry.
Bye.
Take care. Take care. News24.com in London, news station that competes with the BBC, had this. On their website, Iraqi chemical weapons posed no significant risk to the world in the run-up to the U.S.-led war to oust Saddam Hussein, the former head of the International Arms Nonproliferation Agency said Friday. That's today. Was that today or last Friday? Ron Manley, former director of verification at the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, when asked on BBC Radio if Iraq's suspected arsenal of chemical weapons had posed a threat before the war, said, "Not really, no." News 24 says Manley, who had firsthand experience in Iraq, said any agents produced before the start of UN weapons inspections in 1991 would be useless by now. Duh! Yeah! He also said there was no sign of the large factories necessary to produce chemical arms after UN weapons inspectors left Iraq in 1998. Manley said there are only two real scenarios which anyone considered. Either there were weapons hidden from 1991, or they were manufacturing weapons after 1998. If there were weapons from before 1991 hidden in Iraq, knowing what we know about Iraqi agents and the chemistry of those agents, these weapons would be useless because of decomposition. If they were manufactured after 1998, then I think the question is, where? You can't make chemical weapons of military significance in a small room. You need big chemical infrastructure, and that sort of infrastructure would have been seen. Now, this guy, Manley, Ron Manley, until his retirement in 2001, he ran the inspections division of the OPCV, that's a Hague, Netherlands-based organization charged with implementing the Chemical Weapons Convention signed by 153 countries. This is a guy who knew his stuff. Despite that, Manley said he had not been approached by British or U.S. officials to help assess the risk posed by Saddam. And we now know why, don't we? Because the risk was non-existent. The risk was non-existent. It was about empire and oil. Period. We know that. Andy's calling from Seattle. Andy, welcome to the program. Is this your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Just like two or three points. First point, I've been fretting lately about, you know, if there weren't actually, you know, we know there were no weapons of mass destruction there.
So, right, absolutely.
But in an effort to exonerate himself and say, aha, I told you so, my gut instinct is if we're going to have a big-ass nuclear, biological, or chemical attack in the U.S., because that it's just my gut.
Well, a lot of you're not the only one who thinks that. Let me put you on hold, Andy. We've got a break here. I'll come back and we'll finish up. Let's do this break. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're at 800 Talk Yes. Got a couple open lines, so if you want to jump in here in the last half hour of the program, please do so. We're talking with Andy from Seattle, Washington. Andy, thanks for holding on.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
So the point I was making is, you know, I think that the resident, you know, might orchestrate another attack, and I just, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's going to be a big one. It's not going to be a small one like 9/11 was, and I quite frankly, you know, with the lies that this administration has proffered, I find it harder and harder to accept the official explanation, which I never did in the first place.
Right, right. Well, you know, some people say that they don't think Bush would engineer another 9/11 because it would show his Homeland Security Department to be faulty and totally useless. But I maintain that all issues fall away. The only issue that is important to these people is the retention and expansion of power and to change this democratic republic into a totalitarian state that is, in fact, a corporatist state, using it that in Mussolini's term. Don't call it fascism, he said. Call it corporatism, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So while some people don't think Bush would be psychopathic enough to bring about another attack on this country, I happen to disagree with that point of view. I think it's entirely within the realm of possibility because these people are sick. They are truly, truly sick.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you know, my thought is you know, Homeland Security isn't really for security.
It's for the government's security. That's right.
And it's the teeth in the Patriot Act.
Well, I'm glad you understand that. I'm glad a lot of people understand that. It has nothing to do with protecting us from anything. This country is as vulnerable, if not more so now, than it was last year, the year before that, 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
And you're certainly right on target.
I've read and cross-referenced the Patriot Act with the U.S. Code, and it's a pretty scary piece of legislation. And now we've got Patriot Act 2 coming in behind it.
Right.
So. Yeah, I hate to say the R word, but it might happen.
Well, like one of my regular correspondents says, his tagline is "Keep your powder dry."
Yes, absolutely. You know, I would like to do a selfless self plug here.
Go ahead.
And I would like to be the official videographer for you guys. And I save snippets. I pull stuff from the memory hole all the time.
I wish we could have a videographer. Oh, you mean to send to us to use at our website?
Yes, there is. It's at www.ourownmedia. That's OURONmedia.com.
Our
own media.
Own, just like it sounds.
Just like it sounds. It's a great site, and I've got a lot of, you know, I've got the Bring It On clip and the Dictator clip and the Trifecta, you know, just all really good stuff.
Oh, well, this is great. OurOwnMedia.com.
Yep, hers.
All right.
Hey, man, great talking with you, and thanks for having me on your show.
You bet. Thank you, Andy. I hope you call
night.
Again. All right, you take care. Hey, go check out his site, everybody, OurOwnMedia.com. Video. Kathy, I'm going to put that right here so that when we want to... We're just about the point where we can put video at our website, right? Well, then we shall partake freely from OurOwnMedia.com. Well, that's the glory of the Internet, right? Isn't that how it works? Yeah. Have I got time for this? Where are we? No, I don't think so. I just got an email from a listener, an American, who is studying in Australia, going to school there in Wollongong, New South Wales. And I'm going to share it with you when we come back, because it pertains to a couple of our callers tonight and one the other night. So as soon as we come back from this break...
We'll have that quick email and your phone calls. Couple open lines here. Come on, don't bail out on me. We have a half an hour of the program left. I know it's 11:30 in the east, but it's only 8:30 on the west coast. So join us. 800-825-5937.
Alpha male. I come from Texas. I knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people that we live in a dangerous world, and we do.
Texas.
The new Prime Minister of India is, mass destruction.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. The White House is trying to spin June's unemployment rate spike as a sign that more people are out looking for work, but a Department of Labor report released yesterday blows holes in that explanation. It notes that as of the end of June, 3.82 million Americans are currently collecting unemployment assistance. That's the highest number of people on unemployment since February 1983.
A move by the Bush administration to roll back the number of American workers entitled to overtime pay got a shot in the arm yesterday. House Republicans narrowly defeated an amendment that would have put a halt to the Labor Department's plans to alter job classifications as defined by the Fair Labor Standards Act. Organized labor groups calculated that a net 8 million Americans will lose their right to time and a half pay if the changes are adopted.
$7,000 is not a bad week's wages for working at Walmart. Sherry Beck was fired after just 1 week on the job as a cashier at a Walmart store in Orlando. The company said she was hostile, but Beck says she was fired after complaining about the constantly changing shift schedules. Firing someone for voicing simple concerns about workplace conditions is against the law. Beck sued, and Walmart settled the case this week for $7,000, which includes back pay with interest and attorney's fees.
For the first time ever, in-home caregivers in Oregon have a shot at a new labor contract. Some 13,000 caregivers with Service Employees International Union won a tentative deal last month following a landmark constitutional amendment, which in 2000 gave public employees the right to collective bargaining. If the workers approve the contract, they'll have access to workers' compensation and health care coverage for the first time, along with an immediate 40-cent per hour wage increase and other perks.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. I want to share this with you. It's from Jeffrey, who's writing from New South Wales in Australia. Mike, I'm an American citizen studying in Australia. I've been here for 3 years. I discovered your show a couple of months ago. I've been tuning in via the Internet ever since.
For months, I thought my whole country had gone mad with everyone buying into all the Bush propaganda. I guess that's how it looks to many observers from the perspective from down here. But now that I listen to your show, I realize there are many of my fellow Americans that are as outraged as me, if not more so, and are making attempts to claim our country back. And that's very uplifting to a guy who has questioned whether he ever wants to return to his country. Now that I know there is hope, I wanted to say I'll be back soon to join the calls. Also, I want to reply to the comments from your previous caller, Jeremy. To a degree, people from overseas don't inherently hate all Americans. Rather, people from overseas are angry at the Bush crime family and our government. But the point I'd like to make is that while they may not hate all American people, they certainly have lost a lot of respect for them. They often wonder how in the world's how is it possible that the world's quintessential democracy, in the world's quintessential democracy, the masses can just sit back and allow these injustices to occur. They want to know why Americans don't question what their government is doing, and why don't they hold them accountable? Of course, this leads to contempt, not only for American politicians, but also for the people. So they might not hate us, but they certainly think we're pretty stupid and arrogant. Living here, I consider myself a representative of my great country. I do my best to let people know that Bush is not a good representative of our country and that most people back home are good, loving people. But I tell you, my job gets harder every day with the Bush regime in power. Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. I'm glad you are tuning in from Australia. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Good evening, Mike. I don't think there's enough either people, dogs, or cats up here to qualify me as bureau chief. So although it's been odd bureau chief request night so far, it looks like.
Well, dude, is that a roundabout way of saying I'd like to be the bureau chief from Victor, West Virginia?
No, actually, it's not.
Okay.
It's a roundabout way of saying I'd like to be the official Mike Malloy history geek.
The history geek. All right. Do we have a history bureau chief, Kathy? Let me check. She's looking through the file.
Only if it's a geek, Mike.
Oh, all right. Okay, you got it. The official Mike Malloy program history geek. You got it.
No, I've been doing some reading. I'm guilty of that on a regular basis.
Yes.
And I've been listening to you for the last few nights, questioning whether we're moving toward corporatism, to use the right word. And I've been wondering if maybe that's the natural outgrowth of any Republican urge. And I don't mean nasty Republicans. I mean the urge toward, you know, having a res publica. Within the Latin sense. And I went back and did a little bit of reading through my Roman history, and it's really scary. Mm-hmm. And when you live in the same state as Robert Byrd, you have to know Roman history.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
If you look back around 100 B.C., they've got a very settled little republic, and then an external threat comes along, oddly enough, in the form of the Germans.
Right.
And they let a man named Gaius Marius have seven terms as consul. And nobody ever got to be consul more than twice. But they let him have seven terms.
And that's because he was a good warrior?
He was a great general, and he stomped the dickens out of the Germans, and he lifted them out of some economic doldrums. And because he wasn't a man from inside Rome, he was from out in the country, they looked down their noses at him, but he was also inclined towards social reforms.
Well, fancy that.
And in an indirect way, he looks a lot like FDR in some senses. He attempts these populist social reforms, and the conservatives just smack him down.
Even back then, huh?
Even back then, and following him, there was a conservative backlash. There were attempts to restore the republic. There was a little bit of success, and then bang, you get Caesar.
There is an object lesson there, I'm sure.
And the object's names were Brutus and Crassus, and what followed Caesar is what's disturbing, because that's when you get, you know, the earliest form of fascism that ever existed, and right. That was Imperial Rome.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And let us not forget Cassius, who hath a lean and hungry look.
Yes.
I wonder who that would be. I guess that would be Wolfowitz, or would it be Rumsfeld?
Actually, those guys turned out to be heroes, Mike.
Well, they did after they did in Julius, but at least according to Shakespeare, you know, they...
Yeah, but Shakespeare was fighting off a revolution in his own time.
They were a surly lot and a bit cynical, wouldn't you think? I mean, with the exception of, wasn't it Mark Antony who came to bury Caesar, not to praise him, but actually came to praise him?
Well, that and the fact that Mark Antony had been lifted from penury by Caesar himself. But interestingly enough, all those guys died within 3 years of Caesar's assassination.
Isn't that interesting?
most particularly the fact that after their attempt to reclaim the Republic, Brutus and that bunch, you got an even harder oppression, and you get Octavian, who then becomes Augustus Caesar. Mm-hmm. And I know this is history geek stuff, but it's kind of worth looking at.
Well, like you say, living in Robert Byrd's home state, you have to do this.
We're required if you're going to be a Democrat.
Absolutely, you must know this stuff because when he makes his references in his speeches to Roman history or the generals or the orators or the Senate or whatever, if you don't know or have any inkling of what he's talking about, it just kind of blows right by and you miss the beauty of Robert Byrd's rhetoric.
Yeah, and there's an element too, Mike, of what George Santayana said about those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Right. That's very true. That's very true. And we're certainly living, breathing proof of that. All right. History geek Robin from Victor, West Virginia, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike, and you have a great weekend.
Hey, you too.
Bye.
All right. It is the weekend, isn't it? Sherry Del Bracco in the Memphis Flyer quotes John Kerry. Remember the other day, Kerry said stop in reference to the election that was stolen by the Bush crime family. Kerry said stop crying in your teacups. It isn't going to change. Get over it. Sherry Del Bracco writes, huh? Huh? That's a recent response from Massachusetts Senator and mainstream presidential candidate Kerry concerning other Democrats' oratory about the stolen election of 2000, the single most undemocratic action in the history of this nation. The theft of a presidential election sits uncontested, and we need to get over it. While our national welfare declines, Senator Kerry musters, get over it, as though voters who feel cheated by an historic election scam are the problem. Get over it, as though the 9 million and growing unemployed Americans are the problem. Get over it, as though the families of the soldiers in Iraq were complaining of daily casualties in the horrible quagmire started by Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld are the problem. Get over it, as though children left behind in rotting, underfunded, overcrowded public schools are the problem. Get over it, as though the elderly with little or no ability to meet skyrocketing costs of medical care and prescription drugs are the problem. Get over it, as though the working middle class and poor who will continue to share the greatest amount of the tax burden while the wealthy get the greatest share of tax cuts is the problem. Get over it. As though the families of 911 who complain about the constant stonewalling into a government investigation of the attack are the problem. Get over it. As though the librarians who complain about the Patriot Act's requirements to reveal library patrons' records to government authorities are the problem. Get over it. As though Americans who know the Constitution proscribes church-state separation and who question faith-based government proposals of the Bush administration are the problem. Should Democrats and other aggrieved members of the electorate heed these establishment hacks and get over it? Or defying them, find a forthright Democratic candidate who can help them just get it over? Maybe even, as the song says, overcome. I like that. Sherry Del Bracco writing in Memphis Flyer. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That was this week, I believe, or the latter part of last week, where John Kerry, in some setting, and I'm sorry, Kerry supporters, I know, I understand. But we didn't bring it up that John Kerry said we need to get over it. How do you get over? I guess from a standpoint of we can get over everything except death. I guess from that standpoint, it was a bump in the road of American representative government. Get over it. Maybe Kerry's right. But to get, as Sherry Del Bracco says, get over what? Get over all this stuff? Because all of this stuff that she mentions in her essay are a direct result of the theft of our form of government by the Bush crime family. On December 12th, 2000, when the Supreme Court, led by five justices who might as well have been on Bush retainers, said, well, now we're going to make a ruling here, and this ruling does not set a precedent. You cannot use this as a reference law. This is going to be one of the few, if only, times where the Supreme Court makes a ruling. It will only have to do with this particular case, and then we're going to pretend like it didn't happen, but George wins. Get over it. Bill is calling from Chicago. Hey, Bill.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I heard a lady from Kenya today, and she was talking about the money for AIDS.
Uh-huh.
And she said that all that money has to be spent on drugs from American pharmaceutical companies rather than from generic companies in Canada or South Africa.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Look who Bush put in charge of the dispersal, I guess, of these funds, if these funds show up at all. That was a guy from
Eli Lilly.
Eli Lilly, yeah.
And more corporate welfare. So they're taking it out of my pocket and sticking it in theirs, basically just running it through South Africa or anywhere in Africa to pay off his buddies. Isn't that nice? You know, people.
It's sickening. The cynicism that Bush wallows in, especially where it concerns other people's illnesses and sicknesses and poverty, it is. I mean, it's just, it's horrifying. In a normal human being, if one were to hear a normal human being display the kind of cynicism that Bush does, like his No Child Left Behind nonsense, or any of this stuff that he talks about, the AIDS package for the continent of Africa, if we heard a normal human being using this kind of cynicism, we would hoot them off the stage. We would say, you know, you're going to burn in hell. You're such a liar. But the Bush crime family gets away with it because we don't have a media in this country that will point out to us, starving for a media to point these things out to us, that Bush is a liar and a pervert and an absolute cynic. And it's just terrible because people get their hopes up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the cost difference is like, you know, from $400 to thousands of dollars per patient.
Right.
And, you know, it's really sickening to me anyway.
I know. I hear you loud and clear. Hey, thanks for checking in, Bill.
Sure.
All right, sir. Let me quote Njoki Njehu, director of the 50 Years is Enough Network. She said the other day, President Bush's stance on Africa should be evaluated on the basis of his administration's policies, not stage-managed trips. For example, the Bush administration's position in the World Trade Organization limits or denies the means to procure HIV/AIDS medications at a reasonable price. The administration includes South Africa in the list of 35 countries to be punished for not exempting the U.S. from prosecution in the International Criminal Court. The promised $5 billion Millennium Challenge account announced with great fanfare by the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury in June 2002 after his tour with the rock star Bono is still nowhere. The emergency $15 billion announced to fight HIV/AIDS in Africa has been spread over several years with no money available so far. And the Bush administration's farm subsidies in the United States to the tune of $100 billion are choking off African farmers. And President Bush has refused to meet with the members of the Congressional Black Caucus. It's a photo op. Everything that Bush does is a photo op. None of it has any substance. None of it has any meaning. It is a photo op. Kathy is calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, I had to tune you in tonight to get my head straight about what took place today with George Tenet.
Don't come here for that. I'm as spinning as you are. I feel like that little girl in, what was the movie, The Exorcist. I feel like my head is just spinning 360, round and round and round and round.
I heard it when it first broke, and Bush, or was it Condoleezza Rice, who said that the speech had been fully vetted by the CIA, and I'm like, where did that come from? But you know what? I think the American people have been watching this weapons of mass destruction business with interest. The ABC had a poll, and 52% of the people now believe that they juiced the...
The
evidence.
Right, the stories that were put out there to lead this country into war.
And the way this thing turned so quick, I don't think they're going to buy that for a minute.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second, okay?
Okay.
I'll come right back to Kathy, but I've got to take a quick break here. And then we shall return.
Blame the white man before we understand now the problem's not him. What I'm telling you is actual fact. I ain't pro-human because all humans ain't pro-black. Remember in your mind that there still exists a plan to bring down a black fist. See, the struggle is uphill. Life's at a standstill. Jackpot Jill, now we don't act real. And every living moment got us singing the blues. A sole provider can't afford the baby shoes. That's the cycle so many of us go through. America's black holocaust continues. And I just hope we wake up soon before we fold. I miss the days of old.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
4 and a half before the hour, we're talking with Kathy in Athens, Georgia. Kathy, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, sure enough. No, you know, they've got so many things going against them. The war is not going well. The troops are unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
They know that it's a crock over there. There are no weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And the American people have been paying attention. And the way this thing turns so quickly on a dime today, just, it, you know, I don't think it's going to hold water. Do you?
Well, again, I hope you and a couple other people have suggested this tonight, suggested that same point of view tonight. I hope you all are right. I do not have a lot of faith in the consciousness of us as a people. We allowed this man to steal, and in his cabal, to steal this election. We didn't do anything. We allowed this thug to through their terrible stewardship, an attack on this country where 3,000 Americans and foreigners died. We allowed these people to take us into two wars against two countries that arguably had nothing to do with the attack on this country. It was Saudis who attacked this country. So it's been on and on and on. And as we go through this, as we watch Americans wounded and killed, as we watch Afghan and Iraqi and Kurdish and God knows how many other nationalities of people, innocent civilians being slaughtered by the Bush crime family, we do nothing. So if everything turns on George Tenet saying, hey, I'm sorry, it was my fault, I told a boo-boo, I'm sorry, I told a boo-boo, and if that turns the American public, then I worry for all of us, Kathy.
This is the bottom line. My neighbor keeps reminding me. It all comes down to the economy.
Well, that's true.
The majority of the people are not paying attention to what's going on.
Well, if the unemployment gets up around 9%, maybe that will get our attention.
What do you think? Is it going to?
I don't know. All I think about is whether or not I'm employed tomorrow.
My husband is in auto sales, and it's been, well, we lost $13,000 last year
because
of Bush in the war.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, it's been clicking along pretty good.
Well, I hope it continues. Hey, Kathy, we're flat out of time.
Okay, well, take care.
You have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, talk to you again.
Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster in New York, MaximumInteractive.com. And in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Jim. Thank you, sir. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance.